Congregation, are you listening? Children, do your parents ever ask you that? Are you listening? Because there is a difference between hearing something and really listening to it. Jesus once said, "Take heed how you hear." He also told a parable. We know that parable. It's quite commonly known to us. The parable of the sower. And in that parable, he tells us that there are different ways in which people hear, in which they even listen. When we examine the text passage in front of us, in the light of the life of Mary and other passages that indicate her response to the Word of God, we learn something about listening, something that's very instructive. We see this as the product of the grace of God in her life. "The Lord has done great things for me," she said. And this is part of the great things that the Lord has done for her. And that is, the Lord had given her a mind and a heart to listen very well, especially to the word of the Lord. She had developed a meek character, a gentle character, a submissive character. And all of this was part of the work of God's grace in her. When she received the first announcement, the angel came to her, she was troubled. And we first read, she was troubled and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it was that the angel gave to her. So we see her mind active immediately as soon as she hears something, and she is processing it. And we notice that, however, when she hears the announcement and everything that it involves, she doesn't really understand it very well, and she doesn't react in unbelief, in blatant unbelief, but she is surprised and asks how it will happen. And so the angel explained that it was going to happen by way of the work of the Holy Spirit in her life, that she would conceive a child. And she responded with humility and surrender, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In the Song of Mary, as we look at that, we also see that there is evidence there that she takes the word of God very seriously. The Song of Mary is one in which her heart is, as it were, warmed by the Holy Spirit and just bubbles over with the Word of God. And if the Word of God comes out of her mind and heart, then it must have gotten there somehow. And it teaches us something about listening. Let's look at Mary's pondering. Mary's pondering under the divisions, the description of it, the example of it, and the fruit of it. We notice that our text starts with the word "but." And this word, as it is used in Scripture a number of times, indicates a contrast, and most often it's a contrast of things, of one thing or another. Quite often it's a contrast made by grace. In this particular context, we see that the contrast is between the way in which many of the people in Bethlehem were responding to the word of God as it came from the mouth of the shepherds, what they had seen and heard. And we read in the verses Previous to this, verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered, we could say they were amazed about it, at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, there's the contrast. There was amazement with the others, and it may very well have been amazement for a few moments, and they wondered about it, they were amazed about it, but then it could very well have just slipped their mind again, and they went on with their business. But not so with Mary. It was different. There was a contrast here in her reaction, something which would cause the Word of God to have a much more prolonged effect on her. Those who heard the shepherds reacted in a way that was immediate and maybe visible on their faces with their amazement. But true faith is a different thing than amazement. True faith is different than a response of surprise. But Mary kept all these things. Now we might ask, by way of parenthesis, what about Joseph? Well, we have to understand that the gospel account of Luke is given to us very likely from the perspective of Mary. These first two chapters can only be the product of Mary's memory by the guidance of the Spirit. But Matthew's account is more from the perspective of Joseph. Furthermore, Joseph, when it comes to the time when the gospel accounts were written, he was very likely already had passed away by that time. Mary was very young at this time when Jesus was born. Joseph was much older. And so it was very important for the future record of the Gospels that we have this response here, as we will hear later. What is this pondering, first of all, that Mary is doing? Let's look at these words. Mary, what did you ponder? We read in our text, but Mary kept all these things. What things? Well, these things, the immediately preceding things for sure that had happened when the shepherds came with a message and they told them what the angel had announced, that glorious message about today, this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That was certainly a very important thing, that these shepherds saw these angels and that the heavenly host were praising God and that they came and they saw even as it was told them with the sign matching the reality, what the angel had said, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That unusual context for a baby to be coming into the world in those circumstances, all of that match, all these things, these details surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. But more particularly, what she meditated on was these things, and the word literally can be translated, the spoken things. The things spoken. The same word is used in verse 51 and translated sayings. The focus of her attention as far as what she wanted to have in her mind, very carefully recorded there, is what was said about this child. by Gabriel the angel, and by the heavenly hosts, and all the sayings of the shepherds that they brought, and we can say also further back what the angel had announced to her and to Joseph, and what the wise men had seen, and all the things that concerned this child. And notice it says also, she kept. This word kept indicates to us that she guarded these things. If you have precious things, children, then what do? If you get a whole bunch of candies, then maybe you have a special place where you hide your candies so that your brothers and sisters don't get them. You keep them somewhere. And Mary, when she heard all these things about Jesus, she kept them. And in her mind and in her heart, she kept them like her mind and heart was a little treasure chest. She held them secure, not wanting them to leave her mind. These were treasures from heaven, the words about Jesus. And we read that she pondered them in her heart. It's the picture of a warm-hearted mother mulling over these precious memories about those early days. It's a very impressive thing to experience the birth of a child, but it's amazing to me how a mother can remember the different circumstances of the birth of each individual child. It's just amazing. And that's what mothers do. Don't ask the husband about those things, but the mother, she remembers those things. And that's what was true about Jesus' birth. Mary kept all these things. She pondered them. She thought about them over and over. Now, the word ponder has this implication of tossing these things around in her mind. It was like there was so much mystery about these details, so much that was just so marvelous and wondrous. It was like she was doing a puzzle in her mind and putting the pieces in their proper place, trying to get the whole picture in place, tossing these things around in her mind, putting the pieces together. Very likely, because it was so evident that she was well aware of the scriptures, she was also comparing what she heard with what she knew had been prophesied about the Messiah, comparing scripture with scripture. She was juggling these things, tossing them around, comparing these things. And it's a very good thing to do when you meditate on the scripture, to find other scripture passages and compare scripture with scripture. A fourth thing we can notice about this pondering as to the way it is described is that it was in her heart. The heart is the center of our will, mind, and emotion. And it is in that center of her will and her mind and her motion that she is tossing these things around, that she is treasuring these things in her heart. These were things that were close to her heart, not just because Jesus was her child, but because Jesus was the Lord, her Savior. She had magnified the Lord, and she had rejoiced in God, her Savior. She was believing the message about him that this day was born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. She believed that message, that saying about him that came from heaven. And so it was very precious to her. She held these things in her heart. It was close to her heart. She embraced them. This is the description of the activity of faith in Mary, that she is embracing these things in her heart. The wondrous message is that he is the Savior. Congregation, does this describe how you listen? Does this describe how you listened this past month to the messages concerning Jesus Christ? Were they sayings that you recognized were coming from heaven? Were they things that were treasured up in your mind and heart? Were you embracing them with faith? Well, that brings us to our second point, and that is to look at this as an example to us, to teach us. These things were written for our example, the Scriptures say. The Scriptures tell us that when we read of these things, that we ought to compare them with our own habits, and that we ought to examine ourselves, and that we ought to model our own behavior, form our own life response to the gospel accordingly. What have we done with the Word of God? We have heard many things in the past year, haven't we? Throughout 2018, the year of our Lord, it was the year of many Lord's days, and many of the Lord's sayings came to us. These were precious sayings. These were precious messages. Were they precious to us? Have we heard? The Lord Jesus says, take heed how you hear. How have you heard? What have we done with this word? Were these things valuable to us? Are we really seeking the kingdom of God first as we listen to his word? Well, let's look at the manner of pondering here that is shown in Mary's example. First of all, as we examine this, understanding the description of it, we note that it was a deliberate effort on her part. It took a deliberate effort on her part. There was self-exertion in this. You know, when you listen, you may think that listening is a passive art. It is not. Listening is an active art. It is something that involves effort. You don't just sit back in church and assume the position is similar to, I'm going to sleep. You know, that really doesn't encourage a pastor when he sees you sitting that way and just sort of your eyes closed and, you know, you're tuning out. Listening is an active thing. It requires the exertion of your mind and even the position of your body. It requires energy. The Lord says, strive to enter into this narrow gate and to walk along the straight way. Well, that striving, part of that striving is strive to listen productively. It takes effort. Secondly, it reflects important priorities. Proper listening reflects our priorities. What are your mental priorities? You know, there are so many things that we listen to and hear in this world that are not worth the mental brain cells that you expend on it. If it were possible, we would really benefit from a brainwash if we could get that somewhere. Not in the sense of being brainwashed into thinking certain things, but brainwashed out of thinking so many things. There's so many things stuck in our brains that are not worth the effort. If we could get rid of them, it would be a benefit to us. Well, there's a solution here. Don't even listen. Don't even listen to the gossip, the foolishness, the trivialities. Spend your brain cells on the thing that is good. What a proper text reading that came from us, from our brother as he responded to the law in Philippians 4, that passage so appropriate. Think on these things. These good things, those good things that the Lord teaches us, the good things that we hear from godly people, the good things that we learn in our Christian school. Think about the good things that the Bible teaches us. Mary reflects in her pondering that she has good mental priorities. Do you? It also, thirdly, reflects the importance of self-application of the word. That is, applying the word to ourself. Personal appropriation and application of the word. Why was Mary pondering these things in her heart? Why was she treasuring them in her heart? Because this was the message about her own Savior. It was about Jesus, her own Savior. She had longed, as young as she was in her mid-teens, she already was longing for the coming of the Messiah. And now he was coming. And God had chosen her to be a means. Talk about personal involvement. This was really personal involvement. She was willing to take the shame and the gossiping of the neighborhood and everything that was going to be attached to this birth of the Lord Jesus. And she was willing to say, "Be it unto me according to thy word. Thy will be done." When we hear the word of God, do we apply it to ourselves? Let's not be listening for other people. You know, I hope so-and-so across the aisle there is listening today, or I hope one of my sons is really listening today, or it might be encouraging to hear something that they need to hear, but let's not avoid listening for ourselves. So it also reflects here, fourthly, solemn and respectful listening. Solemn and respectful listening. The word of God is worthy of reverence as we listen. You know, there are things and that as we listen to them, all kinds of other things are happening and all kinds of commotion and all kinds of chaos. But it is quite appropriate that when we are listening to preaching, that there be a reverence and an atmosphere of respect in the room where we are hearing the word of God. that our hearts assume an attitude of respect. And now these people, these shepherds, were going with the joy of their heart, spreading the message, and we read that these people wondered. And in that is a sense of awe, amazement. And indeed, it's appropriate that as we're listening to the Word of God, that we be awestruck, that we say, wow, that's amazing. And it's appropriate that we listen in such a way that we say, I've never heard it that way. You've experienced that before. That's new. And you're awestruck, but don't let it be only a sense of awe and reverence for the moment when you're in church. Ponder it with awe and reverence. Meditate upon the Word of God. Have a habit in your own life of those moments, those times of devotion before the Lord, when you ponder the Word. Fifthly, Mary's pondering reflects that she is promoting memorization. It is promoting memorization. If you think about something and then repeat it in your mind over and over, memory experts, by the way, are telling us that this is the key to memorization. That if you want to memorize scripture, for instance, that you take a passage and you say it over and over to yourself 7 times, that you then walk through the day repeating it over and over to yourself. That passage of scripture will stick in your mind. And how instructive it is to go to Psalm 1 and wonder, why is it that this blessed man of Psalm 1 does not walk in the way of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scorner? Why is it that he has this blessed walk of life? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. How does he do that? How does he make sure that he lives in such a way that he does not join the wicked in their walk of life? Whether he's walking, standing, or sitting, well, the key is this. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The word meditate actually literally means he murmurs over the Word of God. Now, not in any negative sense, but what it means is he is taking the Word of God and he is reading it to himself in his private time. And then as he's walking and standing and sitting, there's something going on in his mind that he's repeating in his mind what he has repeated to himself over and over. The Word of God is there. He is memorizing it. This must be the explanation why Mary, when she began to sing the song of Mary, was just bubbling over with the Word of God. Because she had memorized these scripture passages. Sixthly, it reflects the delight of our heart. It reflects the delight of our heart. As we read there in Psalm 1, he delights. That's why he's motivated to do this, to put his effort into memorizing the Word of God. That's why Mary is motivated. She delights in the Word of God. Now, on the one hand, you could say, well, it's amazing how many of these modern songs the young people memorize. And they can just sing along with them or whatever. And to our shame, we have to admit, as older people, some of those songs of the Beatles and people like that, the words are still back there. Why did we not spend more time memorizing the Psalters or memorizing the Scriptures? Was it because we didn't delight in those things? What do you delight in? The psalmist says, I delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119, verse 16. There's a connection there, isn't there? Why does he not forget the word of God? Because he delights in the word of God. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Well, I'm sure that there are some teachers listening. Be motivated to help those young children stamp their minds with the word of God. Children, young people, during those years when your minds are impressionable, get the word of God in there. It's so hard when you get to be old, like some of us, to get those words in our minds, to memorize those things. Well, precious it is when I can visit some of these older people and their minds are starting to go, but if I start them on some of those old Dutch psalms, they can just say them or sing them along with me. It's beautiful. Do you love the word of God? And finally, this manner reflects what they pray about. If you ponder over the word of God, then there will be a connection between what you know of the word of God and how you pray. But furthermore, as you ponder, it is important that we meditate on the word of God prayerfully. In our devotion time, they go together. You listen to God talking to you, and then you speak to God his words back to him. That's how he wants us to pray, to plead his promises, to come to him with his own word. And so as we see this, we see there's an example. And after all, why would we pray as we're meditating on the word of God? Because only by the work of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God accompanying the word of God, will there be any real beneficial fruit. But before we look at the third point, let us sing Psalter 88. As you probably noticed, Psalm 34 does reflect some of the words that Mary had in her own song. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. So only the work of the Holy Spirit blessing our meditations of the Word of God will produce saving fruit. Yes, pondering is the means, and we should make use of the means. If we are to expect any saving fruit in our life, it would be foolish for us to simply say, well, the Holy Spirit can do this all on his own, no matter where I am, so I can just go to a park on Sunday or go somewhere else. It's all up to the sovereignty of God. No, that is foolishness. It's like saying, I don't need to eat. God can make me alive even. Yes, he can. He can do all things. But his normal way, his usual way, is to work in the way of the means. And he commands us to make use of the means. And so he tells us, take heed how you hear. But what is the fruit of this pondering as the Lord kindles in her heart a delight in the Word of God and nurtures in her these habits of listening to the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God, it's very probable, first of all, that the Lord used Mary as a means to record the Gospel of Luke. It is very probable that the Holy Spirit later caused her, just like Jesus told the disciples and promised them, the Holy Spirit will bring all words to your remembrance, all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have spoken. So she put her diligent effort into it, but the Holy Spirit was helping her as she did. And later on, it is quite probable that Luke, who really was not one of the 12 disciples, though he was a historian, the historian who went along with the apostles in their journey, and you see the connection between the opening of the Gospel of Luke and the opening of the Acts of the Apostles, there's that connection that Luke, the Gospel, is referred to as that which the Lord began to do, and the Acts is what he continues to do. It's very likely the Holy Spirit made use of Mary as a human means to provide the information. After all, these things of the first two chapters in particular are things which Mary alone would know in these details. And we have it confirmed also in the end of chapter 2 in verse 51, after they went to the temple, and there Jesus stayed behind and they had to go back to search for him. And he said, I must be about my Father's business. Verse 51 says, then later he went down with them and came to Nazareth. It was subject to them, but his mother kept all these sayings, the same word that we have in our text as things, all these sayings in her heart. And apart from this, we may be sure that these memories were used by the Holy Spirit as a means of grace to comfort Mary throughout the trials of her life as a second fruit in her own life. They were the means, as she memorized these words and as she pondered all these things concerning Jesus, she needed that. Because as she followed the development of Jesus and met trials like his statement in the temple, I must be about my Father's business. At 12 years old, you see, it was expected, you're going to be an apprentice now in Father Joseph's carpenter shop, and you're starting to learn the trade. And then he's saying, no, this is my... He's taking distance from the family. And later in Cana of Galilee, he says to Mary, he takes this real distance from her in that statement, woman, what have I to do with thee? That's hard to hear as a mother who's trying to help out the situation here. And later, when his kinfolk, that is his brothers and sisters, as they try to call him because they think he's going overboard, and then he says, who is my mother and my brothers, these who believe? So he's taking that spiritual distance from them as a family, almost as if he's disowning them. Well, it's because they don't believe the gospel at that point. And so he's making these statements that spiritual believers are his family. Mary needed to keep these things in her heart, to see her through those trials. And And when the words of Simeon became real, when she saw Jesus tortured and then on the cross, that she would have remembered Simeon's words, that yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Yes, that must have pierced her heart. Think of when they crucified him and he cried out and he called out different things. They were such gracious things, such patient things. But then as he had died and they pierced his side with the, she must have thought of that. And all these thoughts together in her mind, how she needed by the work of the Holy Spirit to have those words come back to her. This is the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And through those things, God sustained her in her faith, and she did not depart. She continued to instruct her children. This is important too. You can be sure that the things that she had heard all the way from the beginning, that she repeated them to her children. Children, listen, this is what happened. This is how he was born. These are the things that were said from heaven about him. And his brothers threw them all away. They didn't believe. But God did eventually bless the testimony of Mary to her children and to their heart. We can read of that as this final fruit in her life in the Acts of the Apostles in Acts 1 verse 14. I find that it's such a glorious passage, and we might read over it so quickly, but in Acts 1 we have this statement in verse 14. After listing all the disciples, the 11, then verse 14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. There she was, in church, you might say, with the disciples and with his brethren. How did that happen? Well, you remember that in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says that Jesus appeared to James, who was the oldest next to Jesus of the family. Probably at first the leader in the unbelief of the siblings concerning Jesus. But when Jesus appeared to his brother on the day of his resurrection, then James came to faith. Then James realized that everything his mother said, because Jesus, they saw he was dead, and he's alive. Then James came to faith. James became a very significant leader of the church later, the author of the letter of James. And James, as the older brother, must have had influence on the rest of, it's just a wonderful thing to read. His brothers were there on the day of Pentecost. What a blessed fruit on this practice of Mary, blessed by the Holy Spirit, that she pondered these things. And congregation, we may have children who have gone astray. And as parents, we have taken the Word of God, and the Word of God which was so precious to us, and we have spoken to our children about these things. And it may be that some of them have gone astray and they've turned their back on the Lord, and they think it's all just a bunch of insanity, a bunch of nonsense. And they say these painful things similar to what Jesus' own brothers had said concerning him. But let us not despair. Let us take these things that the Lord has revealed to us, and let us go back to God in heaven with prayer and ask for the work of His gracious Holy Spirit, that He may work in the hearts of those children. And let us all listen to the Word of God. Take heed how you hear. Because if you hear and persist in unbelief and die in unbelief, then all these things that you have heard concerning Jesus will testify against you in the day of days. And they will add to your eternal condemnation. Oh, what precious things they are. And because they are so precious, and because they are the means of grace to save us, therefore it is such a horrible, it is awful to disrespect these sayings that the Lord has given to us. Oh, listen. Believe. Be saved. And you can join Mary when she says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and rejoice in God my Savior. Amen. Let us pray together. Almighty and glorious God, we give Thee thanks for the word that Thou hast spoken, the many words that have come from heaven, conveyed to us by angels, by prophets, conveyed to us and recorded in the Scripture. We thank Thee especially for sending the Word, Jesus Christ. And through Him, the gospel has been fulfilled, and through Him, the gospel is summarized and centralized. Lord, we thank Thee for granting us all the words about the Word, Christ Jesus. We pray that Thou wilt so bless it by Thy Spirit, that we may be drawn into saving fellowship with this Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to embrace the words and hold them preciously in our hearts. Convey them to our children, and that they may, O Lord, direct us, and that they may shed light upon our path, that we may not walk with the wicked, nor stand with the ungodly, nor sit with the scorner, but that we may know the blessings that come with cherishing the Word of God. We pray, be with us as we return to our homes and bless all the things that would be taking place in the instruction of the children and the meditating upon Thy Word. And we pray, bring us back again this afternoon for Jesus' sake. Amen.